Hey, superhero fans, this is Keenan Lonsdale, aka Wally West, aka Kid Flash from The Flash, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
The Sultan of Speed, the Wizard of Wiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat. Beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The Flash,
the Flash, the Flash.
Meet the mighty Flash,
the Flash, the Flash.
In a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy. Thief or robber, the world's fastest human. Yeah, man.
It is February, then it must be flashback, flash forward February. Welcome, one and all, to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Once again, I'm taking the entire month to channel the Speed Force and bring you those fun-filled, flash-tastic interviews with your favorite talents from the world of DC Comics, The Flash. Now, that character was created over three quarters of a century ago. Since then, the world of the Scarlet Speedster has been brought to life from the pages of the comic books into countless forms. All this month, we're going to be visiting some of those worlds by chatting with some of the amazing talents who inhabit them. Kicked off this event last year with Flash-themed episodes the entire month. That worked out quite well, so I'm going to do the same thing this year. I was looking forward to this. Hopefully you were too. I know I got some feedback on those episodes from last year. A lot of the listeners loved them, so we're going to do it again. Last time, we started with a flashback to the 1990 television series, The Flash. Look, we know they're always playing fast and loose with time travel on The Flash. We can do the same thing here in Comic Book Central. This year, starting with a flash-forward episode from the current hit CW show, the latest speedster to join Team Flash. He plays Wally West, a.k.a. Kid Flash. Actor Keenan Lonsdale, he's going to slow down long enough just to join us here in the lair for a conversation. That chat is just moments away. And folks, be sure to stay tuned after the interview. Great, so we're adding another twist we didn't have last year. I'm going to tell you how you can snag a copy of Season 1 of The Flash on Blu-ray absolutely free. That's right, another Comic Book Central giveaway. Thanks to the fine folks at Warner Brothers. Appreciate that. So that's going to be coming up after the interview. Stay tuned for that. A few things I want to mention before we get to that conversation with Keenan Lonsdale today. First thing is my conversation with Monster Kid, Derek M. Cook, over on Monster Kid Radio. It has been a little while since I paid my last visit to the Monsterverse over at Monster Kid Radio. So it was high time Derek and I got together. In the past, we've talked about the Abbott and Costello monster movies. We've talked about Superman and the Mole Men. This time around, we are having a party, a mad monster party.
Mad monster party!
We're taking a look back at the 1967 stop-motion animation classic, Mad Monster Party. It's got some cool voices. Boris Karloff's in it. Phyllis Diller is in it. Just about every monster you can think of is in it. So we're going to take a look back at that movie. Always have a scary good time with Derek. It is a fun episode. It is a fun conversation. Monster Kid Radio is definitely a podcast you're going to want to add to your queue if you haven't already. Over 300 episodes of the show. Each week, Derek celebrates the classic and sometimes not so classic genre cinema of yesteryear. It's monsterkidradio.net. That's where you're going to find it. I will also put that link in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net.
Spine-tingling, nerve-shattering podcast featuring all your favorite monsters. You won't believe your ears when you listen to Monster Kid Radio. Hear your host, Derek M. Cook, and his ever-rotating stable of guests discuss your favorite classics and sometimes not-so-classic monster movies. Subscribe to Monster Kid Radio through iTunes or Stitcher, or visit monsterkidradio.net before the next weekly episode of Monster Kid Radio. Go through the archives for interviews with Sarah Karloff, Victoria Price, and Joel Hodson. Listen to discussions about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Island of Terror, and King Kong. And don't forget convention coverage from Monster Bash and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, Classic Monsters, Modern Talk, and the head of Rondo Hatton, only on Monster Kid Radio.
Another programming note I want to mention. Look, all month long on Comic Book Central, guests from the world of The Flash. One of those guests who's set to join me this month is Teddy Sears. Now, Teddy played the villainous Zoom in season 2 of the new television series. You might recall back on episode 149 of Comic Book Central. That was my episode, and it featured my Q&A with Teddy from the Cincinnati Comic Expo. So chatted with him before. He's set to return to Comic Book Central in a few weeks for Flash Month. But first, you can see him after the Super Bowl on Sunday. He's going to be part of the cast of the new Fox series, 24 Legacy.
Soldier, keep on marching on.
6 months ago, U.S. Special Forces launched an assault. Killing Ben Khalid and his terrorist organization.
Soldier, keep on marching on.
Eric hasn't been right ever since he got back. He misses it.
Ben Khalid's people found us.
They're coming for you next.
Eric, there's some kind of attack coming.
A lot of people are gonna die. I have to try and stop them.
Why does it need to be you?
Carter was the youngest squad leader in the history of the Rangers. He doesn't fail. The battle isn't over until he wins.
We left all this for a reason!
The terrorists have acquired the list of sleeper cells.
These codes go out, and there will be attacks all over this country. Do you understand me?
This is only the beginning.
24 Legacy, series premiere after the Super Bowl on Fox.
That's the follow-up to the Kiefer Sutherland 24. The show premieres right after the Super Bowl, so you watch the Super Bowl, you just keep it tuned to Fox, you catch episode one, the second episode the very next night, Monday night. So set those DVRs for 24 Legacy. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking more about that show with Teddy Sears when he returns to Comic Book Central. So wanted to let you know about that. And one other Flash guest that's going to be coming up. This is on the very next episode. Charlie Schlatter. He is the voice of the Flash in the new Justice League action animated series. So again, if you haven't already, you're going to want to record that show as well. Charlie's going to be here next week, just hours before his episode of Justice League Action premieres on Cartoon Network. That is going to be a cool episode. You got Charlie as the Flash fighting alongside Kevin Conroy's Batman. They're taking down Mark Hamill's Joker. You don't want to miss it. It's February 11th. Charlie Schlatter is going to be on Comic Book Central. Then on Cartoon Network, he's going to be on Justice League Action.
I've uploaded Joker's last coordinates.
Received and triangulated.
Let's jet. We have less than 1 hour to bag our buffoon.
I called in backup. We need to cover more ground. Faster.
On the job, Batman.
We're going to be talking about him working with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, the show. Cool stuff coming. So, look, between all that, Monster Kid Radio, 24 Legacy, Justice League Action, you've definitely got your programming for the week. I'm guessing The Flash is already set to record in your DVR. Current CW series. If you've been watching it, then you know my special guest today. He is already suited up as the speedster Kid Flash. Let's tap into those computers at Star Labs, get a little bit of background. Then the latest member of Team Flash will be here, Kenan Lonsdale. In 1959, writer John Broome and artist Carmine Infantino brought us the debut of Wally West, a.k.a. Kid Flash, the Flash's speedy sidekick. Now, in Flash issue number 110, Wally was introduced as the cousin of Iris West. And over the years, the character's story has taken as many twists and turns as the speedster himself. He's been a part of the sidekick supergroup, the Teen Titans. At one point, he actually became the Flash. He's disappeared. He's reappeared in other timelines. A lot of stuff going on. Most recently, he has been reinvented as the cousin of the original character that came about all those years ago. Sound confusing? Well, Honestly, that's what speeding around for over half a century will do to you. On the current CW TV series of Flash, the character's arc is a bit more streamlined. In season two, the writers and producers introduced Wally into the family of Joe and Iris West. And Wally is the son Joe never knew he had.
I have something that I need to tell you. It's about Francine. When she left us, she was pregnant.
Did she have the baby?
Yes. His name is Wally. Wally West.
And when fans heard the name Wally, they knew it was only a matter of time before Kid Flash would speed onto the scene. The new addition to the world of the Wests is played by Australian actor Keenan Lonsdale, well known to audiences down under from his role as Ollie on the teen drama series Dance Academy, and to worldwide audiences for his role as Uriah in the hugely successful Divergent film franchise. Now, on The Flash, Keenan's Wally starts off as one type of speedster, a reckless drag car racer, and he ends up getting blasted by the dark matter energy, and before we know it, he dons the red and yellow superhero suit of the iconic speedster created over half a century ago.
I'm fast, really fast. I might even be the fastest man alive. And when I'm running, there's no greater feeling in the world. I can move through the city like a guardian angel, protecting people who need me. They even have a name for me. They call me Kid Flash.
Now joining me now is a talented young man, a triple threat, if you will, actor, singer, dancer. And this season on the hit television series The Flash, we can add to that list Speedster, a big superhero welcome to Keenan Lonsdale. Keenan, thanks for joining me on Comic Book Central.
Hey, of course. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I've got to get some business out of the way, okay?
Sure.
Okay. You spend a lot of time in Star Labs. You're spending more time in Star Labs, correct?
Yes, more and more.
Okay. How in the world do I get my hands on one of those crazy cool giant white Star Labs coffee mugs? Because they're always showing it. All your fellow actors are like flashing it right in front of the camera every week. I got to look at this thing. How do I get a hold of one of these things?
I'm not sure. I don't even have one myself. We have so many cool things just around the set, especially Star Labs stuff. It feels iconic. But everyone's always wanting a piece of it. But maybe we can sort something out.
Okay. You run pretty fast up there. Maybe you can just sneak one off the set. I've got the small black one. They sell that. But that like doesn't hold any amount of coffee that I need to get me through mornings. They're always showing this coffee cup. I'm like, we'll talk. My people will talk to your people. You can sneak one.
There you go.
Okay. As listeners can tell, you do sound a little bit different than Wally West.
Yes.
Okay.
This is true.
Wally's from the States. You are not. Okay. So what was life like for you growing up in Australia?
I didn't know any different. So it was lovely. It was a lot of fun. I was like pretty early on, like since I was four, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to be a performer. So my childhood was just like performing and playing video games. And, I lived like an hour and a half from the beach, so I wasn't like a beach baby like a lot of like typical Sydney kids. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, you don't sound like Wally, but you do have something in common with him though, right? You're raised by a single parent?
Yeah, I was. Okay. I mean, I met my dad when I was like 8. So a little earlier than Wally, but it is kind of an interesting similarity.
Okay, a lot of kids though, right? A lot of brothers. I mean, you got a sister on the show, but you've in real life, like both sides, huge families, right?
Yes. Well, so Wally met one sister and I met later on in life, throughout my life, six siblings that I was introduced to.
Yeah, six ones that you didn't know, but like you already grew up in a house with a bunch of siblings, right?
Yeah, I already had five others growing up on my mom's side. And then when I met my dad, then it was just like slowly I just met more and more more and more siblings. Okay. To the point where it's so funny that even when I was visiting back in Sydney, I was just on the train, and like for 20 minutes, and I went to get off the train, and like one of my sisters was just like, "Hey, Keenan," and I was like, "What?" And we were sitting next to each other the whole time. I have that many siblings that I can just hop on a train and
sit everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Oh man. Well, okay. This has come up with other actors I've talked to before. Come from big families. Is there wanting to get attention because the parents' attention is split in so many different ways? Is that sort of how you gravitate toward performing or putting on a show or something like that?
No, I mean, as a kid, the only person I really cared about, or the only person I could sort of deal with having any attention from was my mom. I didn't like any other human attention. It was very frightening to me. And I think because of that, she, my mom sort of catered towards that in a sense. I was also the youngest out of my mom's kids. So I think that, you know, that sort of made it easier. But she did such a great job at like somehow working three jobs and taking care of so many.
Wow.
And yeah, but I don't know if I was maybe a demanding kid. I think my brothers and sisters would maybe say that I demanded some attention.
How did you develop an interest in performing then? Where did all that come from?
Yeah, well, it was, I think my mom had left me in the lounge room watching like TV, and a Michael Jackson concert had come up. And I was just glued to the television, and it was literally from that point. And then everything I wanted was Michael Jackson. I wanted Michael Jackson. Videos, music, costumes. And then I was like, I really want to dance, but I didn't want to dance in front of anyone. I just wanted to do it all the time. And I was like, I want to be a professional dancer, and I want to dance on stage with Michael Jackson, but I don't want anyone to look at me. And then my mom was like, well, we're going to have to do something about that. Eventually people will have to look at you.
Yeah, you weren't getting the concept of performing, I don't think, at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you did have a lot of people watching. You got on Dance Academy. This was in Australia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about everything. Like, eventually my life has led to the complete opposite, where that's my job now. To be watched.
Do you have a signature move? Like Michael Jackson had the moonwalk? Do you have a signature move?
No, I'm not that iconic.
Well, I mean, but like one for you, like a Keenan version of it.
I don't have I have a Keenan like way of moving, but I don't have one specific like move. I just like, you know, I've done a lot of dance training in my life and like freestyle, and I think I've sort of developed like, yeah, just a way that I like to move to music. So I think that could be recognizable, but not just one step.
You have a Keenan style.
Yeah.
Sounds good. That works for all of us. Look, I know we're a little bit limited on time today. I do want to get to The Flash. There's so much to talk about. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Divergent series that you were in. A couple of films. Can you tell us anything about what's coming up? On Ascendant, because I know there's been so much talk about this and where it's going to land and how we're going to see this and what the future is. Can you give us any, like, what's the latest?
You know, I know as much as the public knows, to be honest. I'm unaware of if it will be a film, if it will be a TV movie, if it will be a show. I don't know. I have no idea. So I'm sort of just doing my job, doing my thing, and if I hear some cool news about it, then I look forward to that. But
what's it like to be just part of that world of such a feature film series that of that magnitude?
I mean, it's incredible. That was the first job I got in the States, so it was so overwhelming, and I had to get, you know, so many different things I wasn't accustomed to that it was sort of just all right bang there for me to pick up on and learn. But yeah, it's really cool. I feel so fortunate to have experienced that and work with such talented people.
Okay, The Flash. This is what we want to chat about today. Wally West, now Kid Flash. Congratulations on Kid Flash.
Thank you.
Season two, you're coming in, but you first auditioned for a different role, correct?
Yeah, I auditioned for I went up to Legends of Tomorrow, not really knowing what it was at the time. It was sort of secretive, and they hadn't even told me what character it was, but I eventually realized it was for Firestorm. And then through that process, they had then asked me to come in for The Flash, for the role of Kid Flash. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay. Did they refer to him as Kid Flash when you went in for it, or did they refer to him as Wally West?
Both. I mean, they said Wally West, but obviously he has a huge history as Kid Flash.
Okay, so you knew what was coming at you.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, we ask this all the time, because sometimes, you know, you can look, like the actor gets the role of Superman or Batman, and there's all this comic book history, and we know who those characters are. Wally West, mm-hmm. like so many characters in the Flash universe, kind of all over the place. A lot of different history there. Some different characters, I think, even coming in with the latest incarnation.
Yeah.
Were you able to do any research from the comic book world, or were you able to like pick Geoff Johns' brains or anything like that? Or did you just kind of like rely on the writers?
I read as much of the New 52 as I could, because I had an understanding that that was closer to the Wally that we would be working with for the live action. And then also just doing brief research on Wally West in general. I had known of The Flash, but I hadn't known how huge the character of Wally West was and Kid Flash. And then even the fans were like, you should watch Young Justice. So I watched, you know, both seasons of Young Justice just to get, you know, an understanding of what makes people like him so much. And reading what the writers have and taking that, because obviously they had a different creative direction, a different spin on it to keep, you know, things interesting and to keep it a surprise, which was nice.
I know the family aspect on the TV series, much different than Wally's family in the comics. I mean, it's just, you know, those things are different. Was there anything like tonally that you were able to take, or maybe like a character trait or something that you were able to pick up from the comics that you're like, oh, I want to bring that in? It might not be written on the page, but maybe I can kind of channel that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that came a little later, because in the beginning, Wally was dealing with so much chaos, and he was, I think, you know, the way I looked at it, he was in a place where he wasn't even completely authentically himself, because of what he was dealing with his mom and meeting this new family and then losing his mom. And So I was able to sort of incorporate more and more of, I guess, the Wally we know as time went on. And as well, the main thing I really wanted to grab was how much he looked up to The Flash, and how much he was sort of enamored by that. And, I thought that was really important. And I think that was huge for Barry and Wally's friendship later on, because they were dealing with so much turmoil. So with Wally also looking up to The Flash without knowing who that was, I thought it was quite an interesting.
I was going to say, because that had to be a tough tone to hit, because he doesn't know he's The Flash right away, and he's really like almost an adversary of Barry's. Like he doesn't like Barry to begin.
Totally. Yeah, they have such fire, you know. But it made it fun. But I was like, I don't want to be angry at this guy. He's such a great guy.
He's so nice.
So nice.
You're coming into an established cast and crew as you're coming into season two. We see on these like gag reels and blooper reels all the time how they're always goofing around and joking on set. Did anybody prank you, kind of haze you when you came on the set? Any, you know, goofing around with you?
No, I wasn't like hazed or anything. I feel like not necessarily hazing, but I think when I came back for season three and it was like, okay, now I'm here, you know, now I'm in Star Labs, you know, that's a whole different thing. now I'm with the gang all together. I think, like, I think then I got the whole new guy thing. Tom Cavanagh likes to call me the guy that plays Wally, which I love.
Okay, I saw that. I caught it. There's a little glimpse of that in the blooper reel where he says that. And I wasn't sure if you had, like, just started.
No.
And he couldn't recall couldn't recall your name. He does that on purpose.
Yeah, it's on purpose. Yeah, he still does it. It's been like a year and a half. It's great.
Did you get it at first? Like, were you like, did that throw you off at first?
Yeah, or? I got it straight away.
Okay, all right.
No, I got it straight away.
Okay, yeah, he seems like he's just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great. The energy that he can bring, you know, even times when it's like 4 a.m. and we're all so tired and, you know, we all get in trouble because we're singing and, you know, and people are trying to work. So it's like, and then we have to calm down, but it's like kind of, you know, it's kind of cool that we are even, you know, able to have energy at 4 a.m. to be singing and running amok. I think it's great.
Well, yeah. And there's a lot of singers and dancers on that set too. So
yes,
you guys all kind of have that background. You mentioned Cavanagh. I love the fact that there's this mix of sort of veteran actors and relative newcomers. You've got Tom Cavanagh, Jesse L. Martin, John Wesley Shipp coming in. What were you able to learn from them? Were you able to kind of pick their brains as to like how to deal with stuff in this business?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Tom knows so much just about, I mean, cameras and being on set and angles and the technicalities of everything. There's a lot of times where, and he works like that on a daily basis. So it is sort of easy to pick his brain. And, you know, I have so many scenes with Jesse that I being in scenes with him makes me a better actor, you know, like I learn from his commitment, you know, in a blocking or a rehearsal, he is there no matter what. There's never a time when Jesse isn't on, and I just, it's remarkable.
Pretty amazing episode for your premiere. It was season 2, episode 9, Running to Stand Still. I know you're only in it briefly, right at the end, but were you able to, I mean, it's an epic episode. Mark Hamill's in it. Wentworth Miller's in it. Liam McIntyre's in it. Were you able to be around any of those guest stars coming in at the table read or anything like that on your first time out?
No. I remember the day that I got, the day that I did my scene, you know, where I arrived, I saw Wentworth from afar and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I sort of met, you know, the whole cast, and it was an incredibly busy day. And then I jumped in and did the scene, and that was it. So I didn't get to meet Mark or I've met Liam, but that was out of context. But yeah, it was very interesting and cool being a part of such a big episode, but having such a small sort of little piece in it. It was nice watching it all come together and. You know, and as well, because I was a fan of the show originally before I joined, I didn't want to read the script because I didn't want anything to be ruined.
Okay, so you like to watch it.
Surprise. Yeah.
What do you think when you see it back? Like, because it's much different, you know, when you're shooting it. Do you have like watch parties or do you kind of look at these things and then realize like, oh, whoa, that battle with Savitar was pretty cool?
Yeah, it ends up being like that. Like, you know, if we've ever worked with... Killer Shark or Grodd, and then obviously they're not there.
Yeah.
So when we've watched the episodes, we've been like, "Wow, that turned out really cool." Yeah, I think that's such a fun part. And even when you're not in scenes with other people, and then you get to see their work come to life, it's one thing to read it on the page, but seeing what actors bring to it and you know, and what the director's brought to it is really fun.
Somebody, well, you mentioned director, somebody who was there, Kevin Smith, a couple of your episodes, The Runaway Dinosaur season 2, Killer Frost, this season. He's obviously a fanboy. We know that. He loves The Flash. He loves comic books. What was he like on set as director / fanboy?
Yeah, he's just a ball of energy. He's so kind, so giving and, And so we were just really happy to have him back again. And hopefully he'll be back for a third time. I think he just, because he's a fan, he has so much passion. Like, that gives us so much, even more passion about what we're doing. I think that's so important.
Do you kind of get to pick his brain not only as a director, but as a fanboy? Like, are there some specifics that you can say, like, you know, like, what would Wally do in this case?
I mean, he sort of left that up to us. Like, he was really cool. And I guess that's maybe the fanboy side. He was just like, I'm just so excited to see what you guys bring to it. And unfortunately, he and I didn't even get to have a huge amount of scenes together. Both times, that's just how it worked out. Like, while he was dealing with, you know, some sort of craziness that he wasn't.
Yeah, I think
really
you're cocooned
there.
At one part, and like you're unconscious in another.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I was a bit annoyed at that, but it was just cool to get that bit of time with him, and just being around him on set was really awesome.
When did you first see the Kid Flash suit? Was it in your promo photo shoots, or did you, like, when you were getting ready to actually shoot the episode in season 3?
I had done this fitting for it during hiatus. But I didn't see the full suit with the cowl and everything, like, until I was doing the photo shoot, the promo shoot just before the episode aired, or just before we were about to film Flashpoint, because they knew, you know, I think that when we film outside, there's lots of people taking photos, and they were like, you know, maybe we should get some proper photos out before before the paparazzi take this. But yeah, it was such a cool moment for me to be able to see it all come together. It was crazy. And then the reaction to it was amazing. It was so exciting.
I've interviewed a few speedsters from the show, but I've never talked about footwear. I know a lot of thought goes into the costume, the boots, everything, but sometimes as Wally West, you're running around in street clothes. Is there a conversation at all that you have about, like, what tennis shoes you can wear or what you're supposed to wear? Or is that just whatever you have on that day?
It is a conversation. Wally has, like, a pretty good style, so he's got... Sometimes I think shoes that maybe wouldn't be the best to run in, but he also has a lot of sneakers, so it's kind of a mix. It's a mixture, and we hope that it's just a guessing game. Hopefully, if he's got to run around in his street clothes, he's wearing some good shoes, but maybe he's got some big boots on.
Do they have like speedster sneakers? Like, do they have like these are speedster approved?
I think there's, you know, he's got Speedster Star Labs training gear. There's definitely training sneakers that I wear, which are so comfortable, and I wish I could wear them every day.
Okay, so you take those and grab a coffee mug on the way out, and we're in good shape.
Yeah, there you go.
I asked Matt Lesher this about being a speedster. He mentioned to it that there's a style that you have to master so it doesn't look dorky. He said, like, never go, like, left foot, left hand. Did you get any speedster training from Grant Gustin like Matt Lesher got?
I did. I mean, it was the sliding, you know, after, you know, like, a swim in, and then, you know, you get these little slider boots or something that sort of helps you slide on one of the boots. And Grant is such a pro at it. He's been doing it for years now. And so just a lot of practice of that. I have some footage on my phone of me being awful at it my first day. But yeah, Grant's been super helpful with the technicalities of it. Because once you do step into the speedster realm, there's a lot that you have to think about in terms of the technical performance, the entrances and the exits or, you know, and matching things for visual effects. And yeah.
Can you take Gustin in a 100-yard dash?
I don't know. We've never tried. I think we're both equally as fast. He's a bit taller than me, so I don't know. I'd have to really try.
I like that you're getting fight scenes now. But I've got to ask you about one with your TV sister, Candace Patton.
Yeah.
I'd like to call it a fight scene, but I don't know if it counts. How amazing is she that she takes you out with one punch?
It was great. And, you know, we've been doing boxing as well recently and getting really into it. And we were like, imagine if we had been doing all this boxing when we filmed that scene. We should go reshoot it. But it was great. I loved it, especially when I read the scene. I was like, yes, Iris gets to punch Wally. That's great.
It's a funny scene. You have a musical background. I want to mention that as well. But there is this Flash Supergirl musical crossover that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
How involved are you going to be in it? Because everybody's musical, everybody's dance. Are we going to see Kid Flash dancing?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That would be an interesting concept. I would absolutely love to, you know, do anything musical on the show. If it was, you know, if it fit the story. I don't yet know what's going to happen with the musical episode. I would love that, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the other Flash cast members. What question would you like the producers to answer? If you could ask them anything right now and get a straight answer.
It would be simple. I was like, what is your plan for Wally forever? Tell me everything about Wally. And I would at least ask the question, do you know what's going to happen with Wally Kid Flash? Like, what's your ideas? I'd just love to pick their brain all the time about that.
Would you ask them about a Teen Titans spinoff show?
Oh, yeah, I'd ask them about that. I'd ask them if that was ever a possibility or, you know. But at the same time, like, it would be a weird concept to me to be ever even thinking about leaving, you know, Flash for a different world. Like, so.
Oh, I bet you if you got your own show, it wouldn't be that weird. I'm sure you'd be down for it.
I would be losing all of the... so much about work is the people that you're with and, that's what makes up your days. So, I'd be open to whatever was exciting and fun.
You are reprising your role as Ollie Lloyd in the movie Dance Academy, the movie that is coming out when?
In Australia, it comes out in March. I'm not sure about a US release, or North America release, but I hope, not too long after that. But I'm super excited about that. It was just fun to dance again and be around all of my best friends.
And hopefully some dancing in the speedster suit too. You are also a musician. Where can we find out more about the type of music you're putting out? How can we hear this? How can we get it?
Yeah, you can head to, I'm on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, just under Keenan Monzel. You can look me up there. I just have one song out at the moment, but there's we're setting up for a release of a ton of music early this year. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Good stuff coming. And you're on social media, so we can find out when these things are coming at us?
Yep, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all Keenan Lonsdale.
We'll put those up. Keenan, we are enjoying every moment of The Flash, regardless of whatever timeline we're in or whatever Earth we're on. We're loving it all. You and your castmates, the crew, everybody there, they're doing incredible work. I know you're in Vancouver right now. You're giving us more Flash, more Kid Flash. Can't wait to see what's in the future. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
That Flash Supergirl musical crossover, that's set to air March 21st. If you want a few spoilers on it, I will say there's some information on the IMDb listing for that episode. Don't look at it if you don't want to know some of the details. It doesn't show that Keenan will be singing on that episode, but if there's anything we're certain about in the world of The Flash, is we know not to be certain of anything. We can always expect the unexpected. So, look, regardless of whether Keenan is singing or dancing as Kid Flash, we know he's going to be running around and rounding up the bad guys on that show. And I'm sure he's going to save his best dance moves for Dance Academy, the movie. If you want to keep up with all things Keenan, including the music that he's writing and recording, good stuff. Be sure to follow him on social media. I'm going to put the links to his official pages in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. So you head there, check out the show notes, You got everything there. My thanks again to Kenan Lonsdale for kicking off Flashback Flash Forward February right here on Comic Book Central. What a way to get started, folks. Man, got a speedster in the house. That was fun. So that's how you find out all about the world of Kenan Lonsdale. If you want to find out all about Flash Season 1 on Blu-ray, you can get it for free right now. I'm going to be giving you a shot to get that. I've got a set to give away thanks to the team at Warner Brothers. We're going to do this just like my Arrow giveaway a few weeks back. Pretty easy stuff. It's Facebook and Twitter. That's what you need to know. That's where you need to be. Like Comic Book Central on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Comic Book Central Network. There's a link on the website. Follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at comicbookctrl. There's a link for that on the website as well at comicbookcentral.net. On Facebook and on Twitter, you're going to find a post on each page that's pinned to the top of the page. Keep that in mind. It's the pinned post. It has a picture of the Flash Season 1 Blu-ray set. You share that post on Facebook or retweet it on Twitter or do both. That would be awesome if you do both. For all listeners who share the post on Facebook, retweet that tweet on Twitter. Your name goes into the mix. At the end of Flashback Flash Forward February, I'm going to select one listener from all the sharers and from all the retweeters. That listener is going to get Season 1 of The Flash on Blu-ray absolutely free. Easy as that. So share the lair. Look, I say it every week. Share the lair. I appreciate when you do that with each and every episode. But this time, you share the lair. Team Flash might be headed your way. All right, quick check of the Comic Book Central mailbag. This week I heard from listener Paul Gleave. He writes, "Hi Joe, love the Richard Donner interview. It's nice to hear from a director who actually has an emotional attachment of his own to the subject matter of his movie. He seems a very open and honest gentleman and a great interview subject. You only missed out two very important things in the interview. First, what was it like to work with the delicious Valerie Perrine? And second, enlisting all of his outstanding credits and in the questions that you put to him, you made no mention whatsoever of his most valuable contribution to both Western civilization and the warm childhood memories of we baby boomers. His work on the Banana Splits. Ah, how could you? Oh, well, maybe next time." Hey, great letter, Paul. Thanks for writing in. Trust me, both of those things were on my mind the entire time. I had so many questions prepped. Look, I could have done like a two-parter or a three-parter probably with Richard Donner if I had the time. Folks, if you haven't heard that yet, go check it out. The director of Superman, the movie, the greatest comic book movie of all time. He was here last week, so check that out. We had a lot of time to talk to him, but you look at his resume, man, there's so much stuff on there. Yeah, Banana Splits is very cool. That would be awesome if there is a next time. I don't know, maybe if they get Goonies 2 off the ground, maybe we can revisit. That'd be cool. Hey, folks, I want to hear from you as well. If you want to send an email like Paul, it's joe@comicbookcentral.net. Or you click the Signal Me tab on the website. Let me know what's on your mind. Tell me what's going on, guest ideas, what you think of the show, what you think of Flashback, Flash Forward February. And don't forget, the Monster Kid, Derek Cook, and yours truly. We are having a mad monster party on Monster Kid Radio right now. No Valerie Perrine, but we do have Phyllis Diller. She's in the house. Head over to monsterkidradio.net. Party along with us, man. We're having some fun over there. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Comic Book Central on iTunes so you won't miss a moment of the Flashback, Flash Forward February fun we're going to have all month long right here on the show. If you're not on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, those services. If you are on iTunes, please leave a review. Let me know what you're thinking. 5-star review would be cool if you're enjoying the show that much. The website, comicbookcentral.net. You can get all the episodes there as well. Okay, kids, we are off and running. Flashback, Flash Forward February is officially underway. And you know it will not be long before the next speedster is in town, because next week on Comic Book Central, it's the talented actor who shared the screen with Hollywood legend George Burns, solved mysteries with none other than Dick Van Dyke, and portrayed iconic characters from TV's Ferris Bueller to The Flash. Charlie Schlatter will stop by next week as Flash Month continues. I know you're going to speed back here as well. Until then, don't mess around with the timeline. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivation 3.0 imported license. All the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
you were a USB stick, Joe, where do you think you'd be? Do you have a props man in your... Where's the guy that plays Wally? I got it. Who's in the wrong pocket?